Hello, I'm Doug Burchett.
And I'm Had Raji, and my motto is worth more than meets eyes think.
And today we're going to be reading The Silver Eyes.
Okay, chapter 1 of Silver Eyes. He sees me. Charlie dropped to her hands and knees. She dropped was wedged behind a row of arcade games, cramped in the crawl space between the consoles and the walls, tangled electrical cords and useless pokes strewn beneath her. She was cornered. The only way out was past the thing, and she wasn't fast enough to make it. She could see him stalking back and forth, catchy flickers of movement through the gaps between the games. There was scarcely enough room to move, but she tried to crawl backward. Her foot caught on a cord. She stopped contorting herself to carefully dislodge it. She heard the clash of the metal on metal, and farthest console rocked back against the wall. He hit it again, shattering the display, then attacked the next, crashing against them, almost rhythmically tearing through the machinery closer. That's all. Okay. Sorry, I was breaking ears. I have to get out. I have to. The panic thought was of no help. There was no way out. Her arm ached and she wanted to sob aloud. Blood soaked through the tattered bandage, and it seemed as though she could feel it draining out of her. The console a few feet away crashed against the wall, and Charlie flinched. He was getting closer. She could hear the grinding of gears and the clicking of servos. Every louder, eyes closed, she could still see the way he looked at her. See the matted fur and the exposed metal beneath the synthetic flesh. Suddenly, the console in front of her was wrenched away. It toppled over, thrown down like a toy. The power cords beneath her hands and knees were yanked away, and Charlie slipped almost falling. She caught herself and looked up just in time to see the downward swing of a hook.
Welcome to Hurricane Utah. Charlie smiled wryly at the sign and kept driving. The world didn't look any different from one side of the sign to the other, but she felt a nervous anticipation as she passed it. She didn't recognize anything. She hadn't really expected to. Not this far at the edge of town, where it all was highway and empty space. She wondered what the others would look like, who they were now. 10 years ago, they'd been best friends, and now it happened. Then it happened. Then everything ended, at least for Charlie. She didn't see any of them since she was 7 years old, and they written all the time as kids, especially Marla, who wrote like she talked fast and incoherent. But as they got older, they had grown apart. The letters had grown fewer and fewer than before, and conversations leading up to the trip had been perfunctionly and full of awkward pauses. Charlie repeated their names as though to reassure herself she still remembered them. Marla, Jessica, Lammer, Carlton, John, and Michael. Michael was the reason for this trip. After all, it was 10 years since he died, 10 years since it happened. And now his presence wanted them all together for the dedication ceremony. They wanted all of his old friends there. When they announced the scholarship they were creating in his name, Charlie knew it was a good thing to do, but gathering still felt slightly macabre, and she shivered and turned down the air conditioning, even though she knew it was not that cold.